So today we are going to chapter 9, Reincarnation, Fact or Fiction. So we were discussing about the science of soul in the previous lesson. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches in the first lesson how we are not the body, we are spirit soul. So that's the first thing one should learn. So we saw many examples to learn how it is the soul which brings about awareness or consciousness and thinking, feeling, willing, all these abilities. And body is only like a sheet or like a dress. And we also discussed about the differences between a living body and a dead body and how can we see the living symptoms when the soul is present in the body. So after having understood that, then the next step is to understand what is reincarnation. How the soul changes from one body to another body. So we will recite this verse, it's a beautiful verse. Please all of you respond. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. Kaumaram yauvanam jara.
Kaumaram yauvanam jara.
Tata dehantara praptir.
Tata dehantara praptir.
Hirastatra namuhyati.
Hirastatra namuhyati.
As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from bahya to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So why are we studying the subject of soul or reincarnation? We discussed about it many lessons ago. Why are we studying the subject matter of God or the soul or reincarnation? Does someone remember? Why do we discuss all these theological subject matters in our current day, fast-paced life? Why are we interested? Can anyone say?
To understand that we are the soul and this body is, whatever we are facing, misery is a problem, this is because of our identification with the body. And when we start identifying ourselves with the soul, automatically we will get out of this misery and understand our
actions. That is the main point. Why must we suffer helplessly? And why should we die unwillingly? So we can see that we don't want to die, we have to die. We don't want to suffer, but we are forced to suffer. So these questions are to be answered in life. So that's why we began. Why am I suffering? You remember that? And we began from that. So if somebody is put in the jail and is suffering, he has to find out a way. When will they let me out of the jail? What am I supposed to do to get out of the jail? Because in a jail you have to break stones. Sometimes you are whipped by belt. Sometimes you are given stale food. And you are not free. Your hands and legs are handcuffed. You suffer. So a suffering person inside a jail naturally has to ask the question, how can I become free from suffering? So anyone who is interested in finding solution to the suffering in life, Bhagavad Gita is meant for that person. Bhagavad Gita gives answers to the questions about how to get out of suffering, how to get out of the miseries of life. So I was telling you in the last class also an example. How we can see, even if we replace the heart of a person, say heart transplantation, or kidney transplantation, or if you place, somebody is blind, you pluck out someone else's eye and put it in this eye, still this person remains the same. He doesn't become different. So you will find, even replacing the heart doesn't change the person. Because the soul in this body is the same soul. The soul who is present in this body, he is seeing through the eyes, he is hearing through the ears, smelling through the nose, tasting through the tongue, perceiving through the skin. So there is inside this body, there is a driver of this body who is actually perceiving all these things through the agency of the senses, and is different from the body. And as long as he is trapped in this body, he is just like a parrot in a cage. He has to suffer. He has to suffer. So, we are suffering in this way, several miseries. So, we want to study more about who we are. That is the reason we want to study. Generally, people don't ask these questions in life because they think these are all very abstract questions in life. Who am I? And what is reincarnation? They think these are too strange for us to worry about in our life. So many people drop this subject. And they like to simply focus on some material subjects, have some hobby, have some games, some sports, some fun in life, this way, that way. Until the old age sets in, and the diseases come, and the death comes. And at the time of death, well, no one knows. Now what next? Where am I going to go? I don't want to die now, but inevitably I am brought to death. That is why a wise person should see far ahead, not just see only the immediate things in life. Just like, for example, if you are earning money, you are in a good job, software job that pays you 40,000 rupees, and you feel like spending all the money that you earn. So if you are wise, you will always think about your retirement also. Some retirement plan you will make. Some schemes in which you will put the money and save for the future. Betterment. Because if you spend away all the money, then when you retire, you will have none. You will have no money. You will have nothing to run your life. So somebody says, no, why are you worrying about retirement? Is it the time now? Now you are in youth, don't think about old age. Just have fun now. He's a fool. Isn't it? So, any wise person will naturally have savings for the future. Similarly, when one is going to die, one has to ask question about why should I die? I don't want to die. Or what makes me die? What is this death? In a slaughterhouse, there are so many goats standing in a queue. One by one they are butchered. But the goats are also fed with some grass. So when they eat the green grass, they are very happy. They are thinking, I am having a great fun time now, eating nice grass. I don't have to roam around here and there searching for the grass. I am getting it right here. So he is enjoying grass. But then one by one, all the goats are brought near the butcher and is slaughtering their neck one by one. Similarly, everyone is gradually brought closer and closer to death. That is why Yudhishthira Maharaj said, Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti hi mayamalayam sheshastavaramichanti kimascharyam ataparam. So Yaksha asked him the question, what is the greatest wonder in this world? So that time Yudhishthira Maharaj said, the greatest wonder in this world is all the people of this world see around them death happening. So many people are dying and their bodies are taken to the graveyard and there it is burnt to ashes. And not one or two, they have seen hundreds and thousands. Everyone's body undergoes the same destination. It begins with a birth and then the child grows and then adolescence sets in and then somebody marries, produces some children, gradually gets older, one day they are dead. And they are taken to graveyard and they are burnt, the body is burnt to ashes. Although everyone is saying that everyone is dying like this, nobody is asking the question, what about me? I will also die one day. And what is that death? Where will I go? So he said, it's a very great ascharyam. It's a great surprising thing, he said. Why no one asks this question in their lives? That I will also die one day. What am I doing for after death? So, that is why the question about life and death is important for any wise person. Because a wise person always understands that the world is so created that even while living it brings forth untold sufferings. Even while living. And then unwanted things like old age, death, disease, everything comes in this world. So, why are our endeavors for happiness constantly thwarted or constantly impeded? I want you to ask this question. So we discussed about the miseries before. So that's where the topics about soul and reincarnation come. Of course, if somebody does not know about the soul, they have nobody to teach them, they have no knowledge, they are very unfortunate. They will simply only get to see the miseries of the world and not knowing any solution. Or they may try some scientific solution that is a stopgap solution to mitigate the pain. Or taking some painkiller to mitigate the pain, or taking some sleeping pills to avoid insomnia. They may go on with their life like that. But we are very fortunate to come in touch with Bhagavad Gita. We learnt about the knowledge of soul. We were also discussing about the proof of the soul yesterday. We can easily understand about the difference between life and death. What gives life to the body? Yeah, the soul makes the body alive, like the gloves getting life by the hands. And what is death? Leaving of the soul from the body. Or when the soul passes out of the body, it's called death. Very simple and clear-cut definition, no ambiguity. So, here we are discussing about reincarnation. Re means again. In means into. Karn means flesh. Reincarn means again cast into flesh. That's the meaning. Reincarnate. That means the soul is not flesh or bones. The soul is pure, Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. But again the soul is cast into flesh and bone body. This body is called as a bag of flesh and bones. The soul is again cast into such a body. And once you get such a body, again the same process repeats, six changes of the body. Birth, growth, production by products, maintenance, decay and death. It happens. Now, for example, when we say reincarnation, generally we mean that we leave one body and we occupy another body. But even in this very life, we are reincarnating. In this life also. For example, I was telling yesterday, do you remember that we were in a child's body. Now we are in a youth's body. Eventually we will be in a old man's body. So we do exercise. In this exercise what we do, we tell people to close their eyes and sit in a very meditative mood. And we tell them to think of the past. So you all can think in this way. Think of your past when you are a 5-year-old boy. Or you are 1 year or 2 year old. You know, you are playing with your friends. What activities you are doing, how your body was. And you can even think of your stay in the womb of your mother, which you have forgotten totally. Isn't it? One can visualize it. How my situation must be. Put yourself in that situation now. Your mother's womb like this upside down. Your body was, kept like arched bow. You are upside down and it was a closed pocket. There was gastric juice burning the body, skin on your skin. There were worms biting. You were like that in mother's womb. And then you were born. When you were born, you were a small boy, then you were a 5-year-old boy. And this is the past. Now you think of the present. Now you are in a youthful body. And you know your activities very well now. What are the activities you do now? And think of the future. You may imagine that you are an old man now. You are, all teeth are fallen. The mouth, lips have gone in. And eyes have gone into the socket, ears are hard of hearing, all hair has fallen away. You are holding a stick and then your whole body is trembling. You are a 90-year-old man. Think of. So when we think of the past, present and future, and also we think of how much we own this body. For example, many times we think this is my body, I am this body, we think. But ask yourself, how much do you know about the body? Like if I ask Pavan now, how many hairs you have on your head? Do you know? We don't know. Our own body, we don't know the details. We don't know much about our own body. Like you take a morsel of food and put it in the mouth. Do you know exactly what happens to it? When it goes inside, are you having a crushing machine? You fastly grind with your hands. Do you do that every day? No. You just put the morsel of food in the mouth, it goes in. And then there is a mechanism by which good, the nutritious part is separated unwanted part is sent to the waste, you know, and then it is the good part is converted into blood, sent to the heart, and it is pumped to different part of the body, from the top of the head to the tip of the toe. All parts of the body, there are so many complex veins, complex nerves and bones and mechanisms. There is mechanical engineering, there is electronic engineering, chemical engineering, everything is in the body. If you see, body is like a highly complex CNC machine in which the soul is sitting. Sometimes you have seen this JCB, you have seen? And JCB, they have a, JCB is a device where you have a huge hands, you know. It just picks up sand, like that. And then it takes the hand and puts it in another place, throws it in another place. And if you see the behind that huge gigantic hands, there is a small cabin. Inside the cabin there is a man sitting there, making some operation, operating something, in order to pick up this. Of course, any ordinary man cannot lift so much sand, but the machine does. So it does and it throws like that. So of course, anybody who has closely observed this huge machine can see the cabin as well as the man sitting inside. Similarly, this body is like that machine. It does many activities. But behind who is sitting? The driver of the machine is the soul sitting inside, who is performing the action. So, we can clearly see that we are different from the body. And the body is actually not owned by us. It is not controlled by us, but it is controlled by some superior agents. You can clearly see that. As I told you, we don't know the number of hair, we don't know how the nails are growing, how the body itself is growing, we don't know. How amazingly it's growing. So, the body doesn't belong to us, although we are sitting in it. Just like, you know, sometimes you go to meet your friend may say, see, I go in Mercedes-Benz car, you know, every day. I am the one who drives this car. Then you will ask him, oh really? Come, let's go to the market in your car. He will say, sorry, only problem is the key is not with me. The key is with the owner. What about you? I am only his driver. You may say, isn't it? Similarly, the car is with us. And we also may be using this body and all. But whom does the body belong to? It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. But we don't have full control over it. It is controlled by God. So we are only observing the changes happening in the body. From childhood to youth, from youth to old age, the body is changing. We can see that body is changing. Our body doesn't exactly function as per our demands or requirements. Like if there is a cricket player, tomorrow there is an India-Pakistan match. Suddenly today he breaks his leg, breaks his knee in some scooter accident. And tomorrow he has to go for India-Pakistan match. Can he go? Or can he set it right overnight? He cannot do. So this body is not in our control. It's very easy to understand. So, even while sitting in this body, we are reincarnating. From the childhood body to youth body, from youth body to old body. We are constantly reincarnating. Or to tell it more scientifically, the body you have at time t and the body you have at time t plus delta t is not the same. For every delta t, the body is changing. If you carefully observe. That's like, have you seen a bowler bowling a ball, no? If you see sometimes in television, they show a slow motion, you know. He moves his body like this. And then he throws like that, you have seen now, Now when they move, one still show, they show, isn't it? Little hand moves. Sometimes they show like that when they show the... But they want to precisely show the movements of a bowler. Slow motion, they call it, yeah. So if you take the entire film, you will see that in every screen, the movement is happening. The movement ahead. But then when you sometimes move the screens at a speed of 16 frames per second, then it becomes a continuous motion. Correct? But if you see the film, what will you find? You will find separate pictures. In different postures you will find. But due to the illusion of the eyes, when you move it at a rate of 16 frames per second, it appears like a continuous motion. Isn't it? Similarly, our body also, at every point of time we take. Now we take the body of Dhananjay Prabhu. Dhananjay at 5 years of age. Dhananjay at 10 years. Dhananjay at 15 years or 20 years, you see. Separately you take, you will see the body is totally changed. But then when it is continuously body is changing, you don't perceive it. Just like the movement of the earth, do you perceive now? Are you feeling that, you know, the whole globe is revolving and you are losing balance, you know, you want to fall now. Do you feel like that the earth is moving? No, it's moving but you can't perceive it. In the same way the change of the body also. It is changing but we don't perceive it. But we know for sure it has changed. Because we can see our own photos. See the childhood photos. That's why people have their sweet memories. You know, album they have. Why? When you are very young and beautiful, you should click photographs. Otherwise when you get old, you will become ugly. Isn't it? Isn't it? So you can store the pictures. Sometimes old man and woman, you know, when they have nothing to do in life, they see their old marriage album. You know, and they say, see, you are so beautiful, I was so beautiful, they'll be watching. But the sweet looking bodies, they change as one gets older. So this is the law of life. One should be aware of this. One should know that the bodies are rapidly changing at every moment. We may not be able to perceive it immediately. But from childhood to youth to old age, and ultimately, inevitably it leads everyone to death. So this is called as internal reincarnation, we call it. The reincarnation that happens within one life, from your birth to death, that's called as internal reincarnation. Then after we die, after we leave the body, what is death? That means casting away the body and accepting a new one. That's called as external reincarnation. You accept one new body. You can decide the same as birth. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says this. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya nava nigrahnati naro parani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. So here Krishna says, Vasamsi jirnani. Vasamsi means, Vasa means the dress. Vasamsi jirna means it has become old now and useless. Vasamsi jirnani. Yata vihaya. Vihaya means to give up. And when the dress gets old, what do? You give away the dress. And then what do? Navani grihanati. You accept a new dress. Nara uparani. The man accepts a new dress. He gives the old one and accepts a new one. And then he says, sata sharirani. In the same way, the soul also, what he does? Sata sharirani. When it becomes jirna, then the soul, he says, anyani samyati. Samyati means to accept. He accepts another body. Navani dehi. So new replacement you get. New body. The old one is finished, so you get a new body. Like a newborn child, he gets a new fresh body, which will also eventually change and get older. So this verse very clearly gives explanation of the soul leaving one body and accepting a new body. And this keeps going on. Now what do the scientists and philosophers and other religions think about this? Because this is Bhagavad Gita philosophy, which says that you are the soul, and you never die. It's only the body which you cast away and you accept new bodies. So what do they say? You can see there are many philosophers. We will read a few. Socrates, what he says? I am confident that there truly is such a thing as living again, that the living springs from the dead, and that the souls of the dead are in existence. So this is said by Socrates, who is a great philosopher. So we can see many of them, like you see what Benjamin Franklin says. Benjamin Franklin said, finding myself to exist in this world, I believe I shall in some form or other, some shape or other, always exist. If you see page number 102, there is a picture in the middle of the page. See the left top photo is of Benjamin Franklin. And here Benjamin Franklin's tomb is there. Tomb. You know tomb? Samadhi. So in that he had put a slogan like this. What he has put the slogan? He says here, the body of B. Franklin printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here. You understand what he says? See, he says, the body of Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, he's saying. Just like in, sometimes you have an old book, the cover is little, you know, torn or broken down. Of an old book, its contents torn out here, yeah, and stripped of its lettering and gilding. That means, you know, your inside content of the book is taken out, only the outside cover is lying here. Food for worms, but the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, corrected and improved by the author. You know what he means? He says that the content of the book, he is comparing it to the soul, and the cover of the book is comparing it to the body. So what is lying here is only the cover, he is saying. The content of the book is taken out and it is going to be edited, you know, and retyped, modified and everything. Then there will be another cover put up, it will be a new book, new binding. It will be a new body. So in this way, great personalities like Franklin had a great faith in the knowledge of the soul. See, Carl Jung says, I could well imagine that I might have lived in former centuries and there encountered questions I was not yet able to answer, that I had to be born again because I had not fulfilled the task that was given to me. So many great personalities like Carl Jung and Freud, these are two very great psychologists in the field of psychology. Carl Jung is very, very famous. So even such great personalities had a deep faith in the presence of the soul and the reincarnation of the soul from one body to another. So why must the soul reincarnate? It has to reincarnate because all of us, if you see our current life, there are many impurities that are covering our soul. Correct? Soul is pure, but the soul is covered by some impurities, like for example, lust, pride, anger, illusion and all these things. There are many, many impurities. And these impurities lead us to many bad types of behavior. Like for example, being rebellious against elders, or being lazy, or being harsh. Like if you read the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says many qualities. Dambo, darpo, abhimanascha, krodha, parishyam evacha, anger, ajnanam, vijatasya, partha, sampadam, asuriyam. We have many asuri qualities that are covering the soul. Soul by nature is very serene, pure, and full of love. But the soul is covered by many unwanted qualities like anger, lust, pride, arrogance, harshness and all these things. So, every lifetime should be understood to be an opportunity given for purifying the coverings upon the soul. So God is giving us opportunity for shaping up ourselves so that we can get free from all these impurities and clean us up ourselves and make ourselves fit and eligible to return back to the spiritual world. And that is the purpose for which the different bodies are being awarded. So whenever some problem comes in our life, we immediately become morose. You know, we complain to God, why are problems coming in my life? But the problems are given to us only to purify us of a contamination that's covering upon the soul. Just like sometimes, you know, the shilpi or a sculptor, he takes a chisel and a hammer and, you know, he hammers out unwanted portion of the stone to bring out a very beautiful murti, deity. In the same way, to bring the soul back to his original purity, God actually casts him in different bodies, offering him opportunities in different lifetimes to purify his consciousness. Like when the rainwater is in the sky, it is pure. But when it falls on the ground, when it touches the ground, it becomes reddish if it is red sand. It becomes blackish if it is black sand. It becomes greenish if it is green sand. Similarly, the soul also is pure. But then after having come to material world, he just gets not contaminated, covered over by impurity. So, as all these great famous writers have written, so we all exist in some shape or some form or other. Soul keeps on occupying different bodies. Sometimes the body of a dog, sometimes the body of a hog, sometimes the body of a human, sometimes the body of an angel, sometimes the body of a tree. So, in all these different bodies, the soul is deciding and reaping his own past karma, good karma, bad karma, he is simply reaping. So that is why in Vedic life people know that all the living bodies have got the souls inside the body. So they would respect all living entities. Of course they would treat different living entities differently. Like if there is a cow, they would keep the cow in the backyard of the house, and feed grass to the cow and milk the cow and tame the cow very nicely. If there's a dog, they would offer some food to the dog at the doorstep and send the dog away. They would do that. Of course, if it is another guest who has come to the home, they would warmly receive them, offer them a sitting place, give them water, sweet words and everything. So they would deal with different people differently, but they knew that wherever there is a living body, it deserves respect and honor. Because in every living body there is a soul. That's why they would not cut trees. Modern man, he just cuts trees wherever the trees are becoming an impediment for his construction. Modern man wants to lay roads, so he just uproots, dig the trees. But even in a tree's body there is a soul. One should not cut trees. It's actually like killing. It's just like murder only. It's no less than murder. Because modern man doesn't know about the difference between living body and a dead body. What speak of cutting a tree, he is even cutting the throat of an innocent creature like cows, millions of cows he is killing. The Vedic life is arranged that the cow gives milk, and you drink the milk, it nourishes the brain to understand the spiritual knowledge. It increases the spiritual acumen. But instead of accepting the milk in the way that God has arranged, what is the milk? Milk is actually a transformation of blood only. But it is the way Vedas tell us that we should accept. But instead of accepting the milk, what does the modern man do? He cuts the throat of the cow for accepting the blood in the body of the cow directly. That's considered a very heinous act, terrible sin. So it is all because of blindness of the knowledge of the soul, ignorance of the knowledge of the soul, that modern man just foolishly kills any creature just for satisfying his palate. So, knowledge begins with understanding of difference between body and soul. That's why the first thing Krishna gives, you are not the body, you are the soul. So, we were discussing about people asking about the proof for the soul. Similarly, many people say, you are talking about next lifetime, why to bother about next life, why don't you bother about current life? People say, who knows what's going to happen after death. Like there was one atheist. Even in the Vedic times there were atheists. Don't think that everyone was a devotee of God. There was an atheist called as Charvak Muni. So Charvak Muni was a thorough sense gratifier. So he simply used to gratify his senses. So he said in one of his writings, he said, Basmin Bhutasya Dehasya Kutaha Punaragamano Bhavet. Once this body is dead and gone, who knows whether I am going to be reborn or not, and all those things are not yet known to us, then why to worry? He said, Rinam Kritva Gritam Pibet Yavat Jivet Sukham Jivet Pastin Bhutasya Dehasya Kutaha Punaragamano Bhavet. He said, in your life enjoy as much as you can, he said. By how? He said, Rinam Kritva, even take a loan and buy Shuddha Ghee, pure Ghee. And with that pure Ghee, cook all your food items and eat delicious food and eat, drink and be merry like this. Enjoy life. Because who knows, after death, where are we, whether there's life or not, what will happen to us, we don't know. Just enjoy life, he said. Of course, Prabhupada says, he never said you eat meat. At least he says, cook in Ghee and eat. Even such an atheist in the Vedic times never said you kill a cow and eat. Even the atheists were decent atheists. So, There are people who don't believe in reincarnation, who say that, you know, who has seen after death. So they don't believe in reincarnation. But if you read the Shastras, they give several histories and evidences of people reincarnating in another body. The Vedas are full of it. You will hear that. So and so in the previous life, and then he died, and then he was reborn. You know, there are many histories you hear, like in Ramayana and Mahabharata and the Puranas. So many examples you see how somebody is reborn in another body. For example, you know, one day Nanda Maharaj, along with coward boys, he goes to Ambikavan, you know, and then there is a big snake in the night when all coward men are sleeping. The snake comes and swallows Nanda Maharaj. So when the snake swallows half the body, then immediately Nanda Baba wakes up and he shouts, "Krishna, Krishna!" He's calling Krishna, and all the coward men, they stand up with torches and they try to stamp on the body of the cow, snake, and try to kill the snake or cut the snake. And they all call for Krishna. And then Krishna gets up. And then Krishna just touches the snake with his leg. And immediately the snake gives up the snake's body and turns into a very beautiful demigod. Beautiful, he's wearing mukut, helmet, and kundal, and beautiful shining body, effulgent body. And he becomes a Vidyadhara. And Krishna knows who he is. But still Krishna is asking him, "Tell me, who are you?" For the benefit of all people. So then the Vidyadhara is saying, "One day I was going in my airplane in the sky. I saw the Angiramuni. You know, he was having an ugly looking body. So I ridiculed him. So this when I ridiculed him, he became angry with me and he cursed me to become a snake. So I become a snake. Now that Krishna, you have touched me with your lotus feet, now I am delivered now. I have again got my Vidyadhara body." So in this way, you find someone in some other body, leaving that body and occupying a new body. Correct? There are hundreds and thousands of pastimes. Leelas, as we call in the scriptures. So many people, Narakur, Manigrib, they were devatas. Because they were naked, you know, enjoying the waters with heavenly damsels. So Narada Muni cursed them to become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. So they became Tamal Arjuna trees, and tall trees, huge, and standing for long years, many years they were standing there. Can you imagine standing as a tree? Imagine if somebody digs the ground and puts your leg inside the ground and then closes the stand up to the knees, and you have to be standing there like this, practically for hundreds and thousands of years. That's the way the tree is. What are the trees? Trees are those living entities who have been very mischievous before, too lusty. So they are put in one place so that their hands and legs are tied, they can't move much. So there's a punishment given to them. If somebody is misusing his hands, you tie his hands. So a tree's body is like that only. You have to be just in one place, you cannot move anywhere. No freedom. So later on, of course, they are delivered by Krishna, who comes with his grinding mortar in between the two trees and cracks the two trees. And they come out as Narakur and Manigrib. Why I am telling you these pastimes? In Shastras, hearing about reincarnation is very common. Somebody leaving one body and occupying a new body. Now modern man thinks he is more sophisticated and advanced. And he is challenging whether such reincarnation stories are true. Or are they simply spoken by some grandfather, grandmother, you know, just to keep people engaged in some storytelling. Yeah, such things true. So many of the modern people had no faith in reincarnation. They were thinking that this is all Hindu mythology. Whenever anybody would talk of reincarnation case, people would just brush it aside, saying it's all Hindu mythology. But there were a group of scientists who got some evidences for reincarnation. They came to understand that there are children who are able to remember their previous lives. And they are able to profoundly remember and recollect memories of the previous life. Sometimes there are information about 60 or 80 statistical data which they remember. Information about the previous life. So the children are taken to their previous place, which they claim to be their old place. And there they are made to find out who was your mother, who was your father, who was your brother and sister, which home you lived in, what all things did you use, what was your profession, and who was your husband. All these questions are asked to them. And they found out that the child was able to recollect practically everything about the previous life. And this was a great amazement to scientists. And amongst all the scientists who have worked in this field, Dr. Ian Stevenson is one very prominent scientist from the University of Virginia. So he has done the maximum amount of research. You go to the internet, you will find his name, Stevenson you put. You can get his books also available on the net today. So he has studied over 3000 cases of children remembering their previous lives. And he has shown practically that we cannot hide reincarnation anymore. Reincarnation is a proven fact that the souls are leaving one body and going into another body. So reincarnation, in a summary, is telling these 3 points. He is saying, how are we confident that there is reincarnation? He says, there are unacquired and uninherited skills in children. For example, there was a child in Sri Lanka belonging to a millionaire class family, royal class family. But this child one day went to the garden, and a small girl, so she started making some thatched, for the thatched roof we make some leaves, for the thatched roof. So she started taking the leaves and, putting them like this, back and forth, in a zigzag manner, and she started making it. And she made it very expertly, because it requires some expertise, how to tie it together, how to make it. And the ends should be covered with, strips and everything. She made it perfectly. So her parents came to the garden and asked her, what are you doing? Then she said, oh, this had been my profession in my previous life. I have been doing this. So he recollected the previous life, but the parents took her back into home, because they were living in galvanized roofs they had. They were never doing this profession ever. And nobody taught her also. So Ian Stevenson says, how is she able to remember? Because this is a profession which she had done before. And you take such a child to the previous place, and she is able to recollect everything. The cottage or small place where she lived with her poor parents before. Now she is born in another place now. So this is one of the proofs. Many of us have uninherited skills, which means you didn't inherit from the parents. You didn't inherit from the current parents. Nor were you taught in any school or college about those skills. But you have those skills. It comes from the previous life. For example, many devotees have experience. When they take mridangam or kartal, it's very natural for them. Immediately the hand goes chik 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 chik, and it plays very easily. You play kartal, mridangam easily. Like one devotee told me, when he read Bhagavad Gita, many of the verses he said, they seemed very familiar to him. When he read the verses, he didn't have to read them for the second time. When he just read them once, he said, I know this verse. I don't know when I have read it. I know this verse. He felt like that. Some of the biggest of the Bhagavatam verses he memorized in no time. It's because of the previous life. Somebody has done a lot in the previous life. Similarly, there were children with phobia. Some people are very afraid of water. Some people see the ocean and they become very, very fearful when they see the large quantity of water, because they have had a death in water in the previous life. So the phobias have their roots to the previous life. Or somebody is fearful of fire. Or somebody is fearful of weapons like the knife or the chopper or sword. When they see that, they become very afraid. Somebody is afraid of the gun too much. So these fears, where do they have their roots? In the previous life. Because they must have been killed with one of those weapons. So the phobia, many scientists, medical doctors are trying to understand why people get phobias or syndromes. What is the reason? So they are not able to find out why only some people have to have phobias and some don't have. So they always think that, the children must be mistreated in their childhood by the parents. Due to psychological disorder, they have got these phobias, they think. But then you find some children come from very happy homes. Still they have phobias. Why? Because the roots are from the previous life. Similarly, you can see the identical twins. According to genetics, if you see, according to genes, Two children are born together, they look exactly alike. So their qualities are also supposed to be alike. Two children, genetically they are same. They look alike. Sometimes you cannot differentiate between the two. Like we have these two boys who come here, Siddharth and Gautam. You know, sometimes difficult to differentiate. They smile very similarly, isn't it? They look exactly alike, isn't it? But then, if you take a closer look, their qualities are sometimes diametrically opposite. They have no similar qualities. Their nature, their temperament, their qualities, everything is different. Although, if you see in the mother's womb, the egg is split into two, and the twins come out. One soul has occupied one part of the egg, and another soul has occupied another part. So the child is born as twins, so two children come, and they have two different qualities, because the two souls are different. That's why they have unique characteristics and qualities. You understand this? So, he gave all these different examples to illustrate how surely we can say that there is reincarnation based on these things. He also gives many case studies. One case study we have given, you can refer to the book, in the chapter 9, we have given a newspaper article from Times of India, Wednesday, October 5, 2005, just recently. So, miracle child reunites with past life parents. Somebody can read this? Take the mic. This is a newspaper cutting. So we have given the newspaper cutting as it is. Do you have another mic?
Miracle child reunites with past parents. It was almost like living a miracle for a Gujjar family based in South Delhi. A four-year-old angel called Manisha walked into their arms on the shroud of their daughter, who died about 5 years ago. Manisha, the little girl, claimed she was none other than the deceased daughter Suman, who died of typhoid at the age of 15 on December 14, 2000. The child, who apparently has vivid memories of her last birth, instantly took to her past life parents as her own. She ran into own arms, in our arms, when she saw us. She appointed to me and said, "Wo nahi hai, ye mere papa hai." Says Chaudhary Kamal Singh, her father of last birth. The family have removed the garland that adorned Suman's photograph in their living room and are ecstatic. The living girl is now living with them along with her new parents like a big family, happy family. Manisha was born to a Ramphal and Khili Devi in a little village called Milakpur near Alwar, Rajasthan. At the age of 2, just the time that she learned how to speak, she apparently told her parents that she was Suman and not Manisha. Wo kehti thi mera naam Suman nahi, Manisha mat bolo. Suman hai, Manisha mat bolo. Says Khili Devi, her new mother, whom she was born into this birth. As she grew older, she apparently started recollecting more about her past birth and told her new parents that her father's name was Kamal and her mother was Santosh. She told us she stayed in a three-storied house located near Kamal Mandir with three brothers. She would tell us colors of her school belt and tie. We don't understand her since she had not even started going to school then. She said that she died of typhoid, says Malo, her new grandmother. The news about the girl spread in neighboring villages and she eventually got to her old parents through some common relatives who live in the two villages in Rajasthan. Tejara and Thili, which were about 30 kilometers apart. Says Kamal, some told us that there is a little girl who could be our Suman. Since a lot of details that she gave about her past life matched with us, I went to their village and she just ran into my arms calling me Papa. On September 27th, she recognized them, and on the 1st of this month, they brought her to Delhi. Since then, they have all been staying together. The two families planned to jointly bring us this miracle child. She don't belong to any of us. She will get all our love. Both her mothers say unanimously.
Why they are calling her miracle child? Because for common people it's a miracle. No? If she is a miracle child, then all of us are miracle children also, isn't it? Because all of us are born over and over again, thousands and millions of times. So for common people, they don't know about reincarnation many times. So for them, it's a very new thing. How? Somebody is remembering that people. So they think only some people are reincarnating. Like some people are foolishly thinking, what to do? They are fortunate to reincarnate. No? And we die, we will not reincarnate. Some people think like that. Because they don't know clearly the difference between body and soul. So, like she was telling, Suman mat bolo me Manisha hun. Manisha mat bolo me Suman hun. So she was remembering her previous life. This girl, this is very recent news. So we have quoted a similar incident from the writings of Ian Stevenson of a girl named Shukla. So this girl, Shukla, in her young age, she also recollected her previous life. She said, my name was Meenu. Her name was actually Mana, not Meenu, Mana. But she had a small daughter named Meenu in the previous life. Of course, Mana was grown up. She was married and she had a daughter called Meenu. But now that Mana died, and then she became Shukla. She was born in Bhatpara and one of the villages in Bengal to one Mr. Shukla Gupta. And when she was a small child, she would play with a toy. Put it in a cradle and say, Meenu, Meenu, please take rest. She would play with the child calling Meenu. The parents are wondering, they thought that the child is just playing with the toy. So they are asking, who is this Meenu you are talking about? And she said, oh, Meenu is my daughter. She was remembering that Meenu very much. So as she grew up, she started becoming very insistent that she wants to go to a place called Rattala, which is somewhere in Bengal. She said, that is my native place. I want to visit there. Because my daughter Meenu is there. I want to meet Meenu. She was like very adamant. And the parents didn't take it seriously. But eventually she became too serious about it. She said, if you don't take me, then I will myself go there. She was very adamant. Then her father Gupta asked one of the railway co-workers that my daughter is doing all this kind of adamant behavior. Is there a village called Rattala somewhere? And they said, yeah, yes, there is a village. Then they thought, better let's visit once. So when they visited, as soon as they reached the place, immediately Shukla jumped off from the bus. They all got down and she started directing them. She said, I know this whole place. Everything she knew. She was a small girl, but she guided them in all the different lanes. And then in this way, when they approached a particular lane, they went to a particular house. Outside the house, there was one Mr. Haridana Chakravarti was standing. So the Shukla felt very shy, like a daughter-in-law would feel in front of the father-in-law. And she told them, this is my father-in-law. One who was standing outside. And then she was a bit confused. Why? Because there was supposed to be a door and there was a wall there. And she asked, where is the door? Then Haridan Chakravarti thought some guests have come to their house. So he came and from the other side of the lane, there was a door open and he took them inside. Then they went inside. And inside the house there were over 30 people. All strange faces for the father of Shukla now. But Shukla recollected every one of them. She said, this is my husband, This is Amritlal Chakravarti, this is Haridhana Chakravarti. And she said, my husband had two brothers. She even told the nicknames, Ketu and Karuna, which was commonly known. All the neighborhood people would call them as Ketu and Karuna. She clearly pointed them out. And she said, they are called Ketu Karuna, but you know their actual names also, she said. Ketu is actually Kshetranath. He is called as a Ketu. And Karuna's actual name also she knew. So when people are watching, they were all like taken aback. Stand. She recollected who was her mother-in-law. And she said, in the top floor, I have kept a steel box in which I have kept the three color saris. You know, and there is a picture. Go and find out. Then they went to the top. They saw there was a steel trunk with all the saris. Everything was present. And she was asking, where is my Meenu? But that time Meenu had grown bigger. So although Meenu was bigger than her, this child Shukla was small. Still she was embracing Meenu with the feeling of a mother. She was remembering very much. In this way she was crying tears seeing her. And she was feeling great joy that she could meet her daughter again. And in this way this meeting took place. And later on they returned back to their village. But then that family was also very happy that, you know, that means the mana whom we lost, now she is reborn in another place. So they would sometimes come to the other village to meet her time to time. So when her old husband, you know, would come now to this village, so she would tell her parents, you should make prawn buli, because that's the item that my husband likes very much. So when that person came, they served him this, and he said, how did you know that I like it very much? Because she only recollected everything. So in this way, this is a real story of a girl, Shukla in Bengal. So Ian Stevenson presents this case and says that this is a sure shot case of reincarnation, that surely the soul in the body of Mana earlier has left and gone into the body of Shukla now. Otherwise there is no other possibility. Like I was telling about the two sets, set A, set B. There has to be intersecting element between the two. The intersecting element between Mana and Shukla is the soul. Same soul which is present there is present here. So it was decisively proved. Now when scientists heard such a case, scientists always, anything that religion says, their first response to atheistic scientists is that it's all superstition. It's all superstition. So when scientists heard it, they said, this must be some imagination, because, you know, children see many movies, you know, they watch many movies and all. Sometimes they may be talking some crazy things. Children are not very sane. When they are young, they are bewildered, you know. We should not take their words very seriously. But then it was not just some mere figment of imagination, because Shukla was taken to that village and she could recollect all the relatives and friends. And it's happening in the daylight for everyone to see. So it was not some imagination done by a child to become popular in a newspaper. Isn't it? And some scientists said this could be because of cryptomnesia. Cryptomnesia means it's called as hidden memory, that which is in the subconscious memory. What they said, sometimes you do this hypnotic regression of a person. Then a person goes deep in his consciousness and he may remember many stray things. He watched the movie, or something happened in his life. He may remember something from the subconscious mind. Because we all have conscious mind which is active now and subconscious mind which is like, dead. We are not able to perceive. So they said cryptomnesia means when you hypnotize a person, then you dig out things from his subconscious mind. Similarly, this child is recollecting something from her subconscious mind and, we are making a big issue out of it, they were saying. But we have to remember that Shukla recollected these things not due to some hypnosis. She was recollecting these things in a wakeful state, just like normal state, like all of us are there. She recollected. And also her recollections were not from some novel or something that she read. Her recollections were actually true in the real life. Because when she was taken there, everything she recollected was practically found to be true. Although for her current mother and father, they were all strangers, for her they were all familiar. In fact, when she was walking in the street, as I told you, she was a little confused. isn't it? The door, you know, supposed to be here. And later on, Amrita Chakravarti explained that the door, we closed this door and opened it from the other side after Mana passed away, in order to, you know, forget her passing away. We did that. That's why her confusion also is justified. You understand? Her confusion also is meaningful, because such a change has happened. So it's not some hidden memory or something within this life. It's from a previous life. Some scientists say it may be ESP. ESP is called as extrasensory perception. You know, clairvoyance. You know, this ESP and clairvoyance are two things. Extrasensory perception means you are able to perceive something happening at a distance for which others don't have immediate access. That's called as ESP. That's clairvoyance also. Clairvoyance means to be able to get in touch with people or objects which are not in immediate vicinity. That's also called as clairvoyance. Like telepathy, we say, no? Telepathy. So some scientists say this could be because of some ESP. So if you take extrasensory perception and see, what this child Shukla will have to do for that? She will have to use her extrasensory perception to zoom on one particular village called Rattala, and zoom on that particular house, and then, you know, see all the happenings there and note them down. Actually, if she wants to become popular, she has to make a plan for all these things. She will have to do that. And then when she is taken there, reveal all the truths that she acquired by extrasensory perception. Like that. Now, even if she would do that, then two things we could say about it. One is, when she was going in the street, she would not be confused about the door. Because, for example, in the wakeful state, in this life, if she is applying her ESP, she would have seen only the new door, not the old door. So the confusion she had should not have been there. The very fact that she had confusion means the data comes from the previous life, not from the current ESP. And besides that, when she was taken there, she very spontaneously burst into tears when she saw Mana, her daughter, earlier daughter. It was very natural and spontaneous. It's not that Shukla made a plan to become popular in the newspapers, and she was a very cunning girl. You know, in order to become popular, she employed some trickery, ESP, to get details. She belonged to a simple village. And she just wanted to meet her old daughter Mana, that's all. So this cannot be because of ESP. So in this way, all the allegations of scientists or the counter-argument of scientists can be very easily defeated. And this can be decisively shown as a case of reincarnation study. How a soul is leaving one body and occupying another body. So you can see this page 104. If you see, here there is a small boy you are seeing, Chase Bowman, at the age of 5 years. He had his first past life memory. A small boy, in his 5-year-old age, he recollected that in his previous life he was a soldier in the army. So they told him to recollect. So he took a pen and he drew it. He has drawn the war zone. And here below the war zone he has written, see, here, how I am. He has written there, you see. And then he has put other things also, and different things in the war. And then the right side, you know, there is a picture he has drawn of a horse carrying a tank, you know. And he is writing there. They are able to read it. After I am held, I am marching back to the battlefield. When I see, it's a hill, yeah. After I am healed, yeah, healed, yeah. After I am healed, I am marching back to the battlefield. When I see a cannon pass by, in something like a cart pulled by a horse, roped down very well, yeah. Next thing I know, I am behind a cannon. Look in the map, he's saying. Shooting them, I am shot or something, and I die. I can see myself floating over the battlefield. like on the map. Higher, higher I go into the sky. See? This boy has drawn this picture. So in this way, there are many children recollecting their previous lives. There are many, many evidences. And Chivanan has got about 3000 evidences like this. Now, not only that science says about this, even in all religions, some people think reincarnation is spoken only in Hindu religion, they think. But we can show examples from different religions also. Like if you see in ancient Greece, Pythagoras, Aristotle, they all taught about reincarnation. You see, they have this doctrine in 10 steps. Divine origin of the soul, the soul's fall, duration of cycle of birth, address to the souls awaiting reincarnation, and the inevitability of transmigration, possibility of release from cycle, and all that. They also have reward of the pious. So this cycle of birth is explained even in the Greek culture also. Also in Buddhism, if you find, there are Jataka tales, which talk about Lord Buddha taking on different species, different forms, reincarnating. Buddha is reincarnating in different forms and performing different activities and teaching different lessons. The stories of the enlightened ones, past incarnations. So there is a example of several reincarnations even in the Buddhism also. Like Buddhists talk about Nirvana, for example, which means going beyond cycle of birth and death, not taking birth again. That's what is called as Nirvana. Some Buddhists think there is no soul. There is in Theravada. And they think that there is no soul. It's called as no soul doctrine. But how this no soul doctrine came up? In those times, there were people who were deadly against Hindus. The Hindus, some of the Hindu Brahmanas, they were misusing the scriptures. They took the scriptures to misinterpret them. And they said that we can perform yajna, Gomedha yajna, and kill the cows, Ashwamedha yajna, and kill the horses, and they were eating the flesh of these animals, saying that we are performing yajna. But Shastras nowhere say that you can kill these animals and eat them. Gomedha yajna, Ashwamedha yajna are performed when an old cow or an old horse is put into the fire, and they get a human body immediately, and they come out. And that will be proving the efficacy of the mantra that was chanted appropriately. But some so-called Brahmins started misusing the Shastric injunctions and started eating animal flesh, saying that Shastras are permitting them. So seeing this, Buddha rejected the Vedas. That was the reason why he rejected the Vedas. So if you see Buddhism, Jainism and all these things, ism started as an opposition to the Sanatana Dharma or Hinduism. As an opposition to that. That is why some of the people said, Brahmanas are saying there is soul, and they talk always about the soul. We say there is no soul. No soul doctrine. When Theravada came. So when somebody asked Buddha, is there no soul? Buddha actually chastises them. Where did I say that there is no soul? He says that in one of the statements, in Buddha's writings. I have given it in our book, Your Sacred Journey. So Buddha says, who said there is no soul? There is a soul. Soul is the essence of life. And Nirvana, when we say, then the soul goes beyond cycle of birth and death. That is explained. Similarly, if you take Jainism, or Mahavira, Jainism if you take, they also talk about the wheel of samsara, where one takes on different bodies. And one can go beyond this wheel of samsara. So in every religion, the reincarnation is being spoken about. Like some Christians, Christianity is one of the biggest religions all over the world now. But so many Christians think there is only one life. There is no more life beyond one life. They think like that. The reason is, they think when you die, they keep the body in a coffin. And they close the box and they put it under the ground. And they bury it. Isn't it? And what they think, the body will remain intact. And then there will be a day of judgment when Jesus will come for the second time. When Jesus comes for the second time, all the bodies kept in the coffins, they will all rise. They will all come back to life. And then for those who are righteous, followers of Jesus, they will be rising to the heaven, where they can live thousands of years with their wife and children, husband, wife, children, same people. same husband, wife, children, mother, father, they will all live in the heaven for thousands of years. While those who are sinful will be cast to eternal damnation in hell. This is our understanding. Now, if you carefully take a look into this understanding, you will see how superficial it is. Like for example, the bodies which are kept in the boxes will certainly be eaten by worms and, you know, other creatures. And that will be finished. Only the bones are going to be left there, inside the body. You cannot completely prevent the body like that. And also, when we are going to be awarded the heaven or hell, it's not, you are not going to be with the same wife or same husband, children and other people. But there is surely happiness that is promised for the righteous people in the heaven for thousands of years. But the heaven and hell both are in the material world only. Beyond this, there is an eternal world, spiritual world, where one simply loves and serves God. So very, very few Christians talk about it. Like Benedictine monks or there are some very serious Christians who want to go to the spiritual sky, eternal spiritual sky. But most of the Christians, they are fond of going to heaven and avoiding hell and going to heaven. They think like that. So they identify the body with the soul many times. They don't know. If you see, in Bible there is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. So Father is a God and Son is the spiritual master, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is what we call as Krishna consciousness. We call it. So, there is a talk about the resurrection of Jesus, for example. You know, after he was crucified, on the third day Jesus comes back. Life. So that is certainly the spirit of Jesus. It is not the same body. Because the body is corporeal. It is simply made of flesh and bones. The body will be cast away on the time of death. But the soul doesn't die. So, why Christianity doesn't approve of the presence of soul or reincarnation? There are some reasons for that. For example, in Bible we can show, there were kings like many church fathers. For example, Clement of Alexandria, his period is 150 to 220 AD. Justin Martyr, he was 100 to 165 AD. There are many others. Saint Gregory of Nyssa, he is 257 to 332 AD. And Arnobius, 290 AD. Saint Jerome, 340 to 420 AD. They were all advocates of the principle of reincarnation. But there was one king, emperor, called as Justinian. This person was 527 to 565 AD. So this fellow was, he was feeling that the belief in reincarnation will make the Christians lax. That was his fear. So he called all the fathers in the church and said, ban all the teachings on reincarnation. Give them only one life, he said. See, he says, give them only one life and then give them heaven or hell. Justin was sure that they would hasten the Christians' resolve to be a good Christian and good citizens and loyal to their emperor. Because he was feeling that the people are told that there are many, many lifetimes, million lifetimes are there, and people will think, anyway, I can go to God at next life. They'll become very cool down. They may not take it seriously. So he told them to remove any teachings on reincarnation from the Bible. Remove those teachings. There is also another Constantinople. You know Constantinople? So he had a queen. So the queen had an affair with more than 7 or 8 men. She had an affair, but it was unknown to the king. So one day, as they would read the Bible regularly in the court for the king and queen to hear, so they were reading about reincarnation. So the queen heard it and she became shocked that there is reincarnation, there will be rebirth again, and depending on one's activities, one will have to become a dog or a cat. One will have to get such bodies and one will have to suffer. So she became wild. She called all the fathers and said that completely purge all the teachings on reincarnation from the Bible. I just don't want to hear. So she said, and then they removed many, many teachings from Bible. So in this way, the Bible, the original Bible edition is in Hebrew and then later on translated to English. And a lot of these things are removed about reincarnation and there is only talk about one life in many places. But in Bible also there are traces of information about reincarnation which somehow these people have missed out. It is still there. For example, Jesus tells that this John, the Herod whom you see, he is actually Elias who has reappeared as John. Then some of the disciples are asking, how is it, Master, that Elias has reappeared as John? If somebody has died, does he again enter into his mother's womb and stay there and again he is reborn? How can such a birth happen? So it was confusing to some of the disciples. And Jesus said, those who have the ears to hear, let them hear. He said. Now everyone is having the ears, isn't it? But what he meant was, those who can understand reincarnation, they will understand. Others cannot understand how the reincarnation takes place. So we have many examples to quote from Bible in the same manner, that there is reincarnation mentioned in different places in Bible also. One person disappearing and appearing in the name of another person. This is in Bible in many places. And show that. Yeah. See, for example, in Islam also we have information given. For example, they have certain names, technical names. Kuhul means the periodical incarnation of a saint or prophet. Rijat means the immediate return of an imam or any other important spiritual leader after death. That means the spiritual leader who dies, in order to protect the people, he is again reborn. Like I was telling you about the Dalai Lamas, correct? They are again reborn in the same family or in the neighborhood of the community, and again he becomes a spiritual leader and continues saving the people. That's called as Rijat. And Tansuk means the ordinary incarnation of all souls. It's called as Tansuk. Tansuk. Those who are born for sense gratification. So, the Islamites even claim that the Hindu god Krishna incarnated as Buddha and then as Muhammad, while others in the same sect believe that the great teachers repeatedly incarnate for the benefit of successive generations. In this way, even there are so many categories of Muslims. One category of Muslims worship Krishna also. It came in one of our Back to Godhead magazines, article on the Muslims called as Druze. You know Druze? They are coming from Islam, Israel. They are from Israel. Called as the Druze. So if you see the scriptures, there is mention about Krishna. They are also worshipping Krishna only. So ISKCON arranged a visit for all of them to India. They came to India, they came to Juhu, they went to Delhi. They had a talk with our ISKCON leaders. And they are amazed to see that the teachings are common. Many of the principles they follow are very much similar to Krishna consciousness. So they accepted all of ISKCON books, Prabhupada books. And many of them are now serious practitioners of Krishna consciousness. So you'll find that there is mention of reincarnation. But sometimes other religions, they are more or less caught up in some very basic teachings. Obey your mother, obey your father, don't run away with another man's wife, So they are teaching mostly the basic principles. What is speak of reincarnation? Reincarnation comes after you follow the basic things. Then you can talk about, moksha, liberation and all those things. So if you carefully observe, then reincarnation is given in many, many religions. You can show that. So different religions and by different scientists, reincarnation has been spoken. Now somebody may ask, why did only Shukla remember her previous life? Why not me? Why can't I also remember my previous life, who I was? As you know, God has sent us to this world to enjoy independently, to enjoy separately. We want to enjoy separately. So now imagine if you are going to remember everything about the previous life. Imagine in one life you died in a ghastly car accident. Simply to remember that would be fearsome. You cannot even sleep peacefully. Every time you will find cars coming from all directions. Isn't it? Or imagine in one lifetime you were a cow who was mercilessly butchered in a slaughterhouse and neck was cut. So now you will be constantly fearful about that. So what God does after every life, He covers your consciousness completely and then He sends you to the next life. So you forget the previous life and then you are reborn. And this life looks like fresh life for you. So he gives you a fresh life. So in general, ideally speaking, no one is supposed to remember their previous life. Unless God wants them to remember. Like Narada is remembering his previous life in Srimad Bhagavatam as the son of a maid servant, you know. So because he is empowered by Krishna. Similarly, these people whom Ian Stevenson has researched, so these people certainly are, you know, made to remember their previous life by some God's arrangement. I think God is arranging this so that we can develop faith in reincarnation in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, all the forces are against religion. So God has given these people remembrance so that the reincarnation will be proved. And scientifically it will be proved and people will be forced. They will be forced to accept the authority of scriptures. They cannot deny anymore the fact of reincarnation. So, I spoke about how, in the beginning I was speaking about how the reincarnation is relevant to our lives. It's not just like, you know, he is reincarnating or he is reincarnating. No, I am also reincarnating. Every one of us is reincarnating. And every moment our body is changing. The body will inevitably lead us to death. And after death there will be birth. Jata sakhi dhruva mrityur dhruvam janyam ratashtacha. He says. So, those who are born will die, those who die will be born. Those who are born will die. It will keep on happening like this. So, if you are really serious about life, then all the other activities that we do in life are only for keeping our body and soul together, or filling up our belly, all other activities. The main activity is to liberate the soul from the entanglement of this material body and to help the soul achieve the spiritual world. So, one should help oneself, one should help others, and all other goals are temporary goals. Other than this one prime goal of returning back to Godhead. So in this way, reincarnation can be very scientifically understood by seeing from different angles, from the angle of scientists, from the angle of philosophers, from the angle of scriptures. So in this lesson, we are given the pastime of Bharat Maharaj. By studying about his life, we will understand the principle of reincarnation very deeply. Hare Krishna. So, one question you have?
You said that this empowerment of law to remember, to give remembrance of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
But how come we know that we have been told that whatever one has performed spiritually, it continues?
Yes, it continues, yeah.
How is it?
Oh, spiritual thing also you don't remember profoundly. For example, in the previous life you have done some spiritual activity. You have already done say 30-40%. In the next life you start from 41%. But not immediately after birth. Like now you became a devotee in this life. Did you begin as soon as you are born you are a devotee? You are crying for Krishna right from Krishna, Krishna you are crying? No. You know, you are spending in Maya here and there. You go here, go there. A little bit and suddenly you wake up at one point of time and then you meet devotees, you read books, you get awakened. But the spiritual part is kept intact, that's never destroyed, that cannot be destroyed. That part is Neha Vikramana Ashwasti, Krishna says, no? The spiritual part, whatever you do, is kept very safe, intact, yeah. Yeah, in the next life you may not immediately remember everything, recollect everything. You may be doing activities like the ordinary soul. At one point of time when you come in contact with devotees, the old remembrances come. Oh, here is Krishna, here is Bhagavad Gita. You know, here are the devotees. Now I understand, I am from spiritual world. I have forgotten the truth. So we become forgetful. But again, the advantage of doing spiritual practices is that the next life again the remembrance comes. Exactly like Gajendra. Gajendra in the previous life was a king Indradyumna performing meditation, glorifying the Supreme Lord and with prayers, mantras and all. When he died and then when he became an elephant, did he remember that? No. He was an ordinary elephant, you know, wandering in the forest. He was the king of elephants, living a nice life, you know, drinking water, splashing water on other elephants, enjoying life. He went for a picnic, you know. So we have a devotee who gave a lecture on how, picnic turns into a nightmare. So he went for a picnic to the lakes to splash waters on his family members and himself and drink some waters, and that turned into nightmare. Crocodile caught his leg. At that time, he remembered the previous life. Yeah. So we also will remember sometime or some point or other in our life about Krishna consciousness. Then we become fixed up in Krishna consciousness after that. And forgetfulness will be removed at that time. Seeing our sincerity, Lord will do that. So today, did I ask any interactive questions in this session on reincarnation?
What
was it? Why are we studying the subject of soul and reincarnation? Yes. What are the questions?
What is life and death?
Is it? We discussed about it.
How do we understand the body has life and how do we understand that it is dead matter?
Yeah. What else? Any other interactive question I ask?
Many people ask that why you want to worry about future life.
That was a very important question. Many people may say, why do you bother about reincarnation and right now you worry about this life, why to worry about future, who knows what will happen after death. Many people ask this. Yeah. Any other question I ask? Yeah. Actually, what I generally do after the class, we revise about the interactive questions that I ask during the class. Any other interactive question I ask you, where I expected answer from all of you? How much do we know of our body? That was a rhetorical question.
So closing the eyes.
That was like I didn't do that exercise. You can try doing it. We can have it. It'll be a very nice experience for people. I have given it in the Your Secret Journey. Past, future, present and everything. So if you do that exercise, people will feel very nice. They can clearly see that I'm aloof from the body. I'm different from the body. If you do that. Yeah. So, another thing I did was I quoted some slokas in between, right? What slokas I quoted? Vasamsi Jilnani was one sloka. Dehinosmin also we, two slokas we quoted. And then there are some of the quotes that I read from the book. That you will have to put in charts, you know, and you will have to put it up in the chart and then people can refer to the chart like that. And then the story of Shukla is very interesting, isn't it? What we can do when you are teaching, if you have a intelligent child, you know, can take a child and you can put it up as a drama, the Shukla, you know. This will be very powerful if you make it into a drama. Then what happens, it will have a very deep effect on the audience. If you can make a drama out of the story of Shukla, you know. If you take a small child, who all you need? You need a father, you need a child, you know. And then the other family members are mana, you know. And some 30 family members, for that you can take, you know. Some maybe 5-6 you can take. Amitra Chakravarti, Harjan Chakravarti and all that. So if you make a drama out of this, it will be very powerful. Actually, whenever you teach these lessons, what you have to do? 1 week before only, the idea should be generated. Next week, we want to do a drama. Right? Today only, you allot the people, you know. Next week, they have to prepare and come. You can even tell your audience, okay, 8 of you, you are all living in the same area, so you prepare this into a drama and put it up. Next week in the class, they will put it up. Because instead of telling the story, so you put up the story as a drama, and after that, I discussed the three viewpoints of the scientists, right? Cryptomnesia, you know, hidden memory, isn't it? ESP and all that. Yeah. And we gave solutions to each of that. So, anybody feels any other part of the lesson could have been more nicely taught or it could have been made more lighter? Also, this was interesting, no? Chase Bowman. Boy. So whenever we teach, there should be some variety for people. Generally they can enjoy seeing this, yeah?
So there was a case in Bombay. Kastuang or Matanga?
Matanga. Yeah, Ashish Agarwal. Yeah. So this boy was is currently from North India. In his previous life he was murdered in Matunga Bridge. I went to the bridge also, I saw the place. So this boy, he came with his parents, he took the parents to the bridge and showed, here only I was murdered. So he went to the police station. The three people who murdered him, their case was still going on. You know, he rounded up, these are the same people, I know them. You know, he said. And then he went to the lathe where he would work as a worker, you know, he was very dexterous in working in the machines and all. Because he was an ITA man in the previous life, still those things were dormant in his mind. Still they were there. So, that's the case of Ashish Agarwal. There are a lot of cases like that. I even met boys personally. There's a boy who comes to Chapari temple, you know, who remembers his previous life. Everything clear. He has met the parents also. Yeah. Very amazing. It's not a new concept. Shastra has already explained it. But for us to see those people directly, it's very thrilling to see. That's clear? So we will continue more on understanding the reincarnation more deeply in the lesson 10. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shiva Prabhupada ki.